It's time for Off the Curve with Justin Spearman.
Well, Caleb Love has committed to the University of Michigan, and in the mixed feelings Olympics, the bittersweet Olympics, whatever you want to call it, this is a gold medal winner. I don't know what to make of this. The announcement comes out today. Go rewrite your story, kid, he says about himself on Twitter in the announcement, and the very nice Michigan artwork there with the jersey. I don't know what to make of this, really, and I'm coming at this from a unique perspective. I'm bringing in Chris Castellani, our friend, longtime friend of the show, Barstool Sports. Chris, you're a big Michigan guy. Mm-hmm. Big news. Were you a little bit surprised by this when this news came out today?
No, I actually wasn't. I had an idea that they were strongly pursuing him and that he was Michigan was on the short list. So I wasn't shocked by it. I mean, my initial shock was the fact that he'd entered the portal at all. I mean, you know, but beyond that, not super surprised by it. I think that Michigan and Juwan, to their credit, have been very active in the portal since he got to Michigan. So I'd expected they'd make a splash. I wasn't sure if it'd be Caleb Love, but turns out it was.
Yeah, it's interesting because I said it today. For those that don't know, I mean, I was actually wearing this UNC quarter zip before this news dropped. This was my outfit of choice this morning. So I'm a UNC grad as well as a Michigan State grad. So I've been watching Caleb Love his entire career in North Carolina. And I can't think of a more polarizing guy. And I'm not atypical in this regard. He's so polarizing among Tar Heel fans where you don't know what to make of this. So I'm mixed on this. And here's why, Chris. And I want you to tell me if I'm crazy. I know going in, there's going to be nights that he's playing just a dumb brand of basketball, contested threes early in the shot clock, just stupid stuff, hero ball galore. That's what he's kind of known for. And on those nights, I am going to be thinking of guys like you and Anthony Broom and Jack Johnson, all my Michigan friends, and saying, ha ha, he's not my problem anymore. He's your problem.
Yeah.
But the flip side of that coin is I also know there's going to be the other nights where he's carrying you. And we saw it in the Final Four game against Duke. Yeah. Everybody remembers the shot, and rightfully so. That was a dagger three, as it turned out. That's fine. He had 28 points that game. It was like 10 or 11 to 17 shooting. He had like one assist, which is kind of his other problem. But yeah, he had an incredible game. That was not like an average player hitting one big shot. That was an iconic game on arguably the biggest semifinal game ever, certainly in terms of commercial prestige. And I don't know what I think of it for you guys, because there's some nights you're going to love him and some nights you're going to hate him. What's your take on that? Are you nervous about getting shot out of games? Because it is going to be a problem, I would imagine.
They shot their way out of a million games this year already. So like, you can't hurt me in that aspect anymore. Look, I think all your criticisms and all the general criticisms of Caleb Love as a player are completely justified and understandable. Like I've seen him play, and I'm aware that last year, part of the reason why things went sour for UNC was the hero ball. But the fact is, I don't think you can even look at it from that way. You got to look at your current roster. And assuming that Hunter Dickinson is officially, you know, done at Michigan, you look at what they're bringing back. It's not a team that can be competitive in the Big Ten. It's not to say that it's necessarily a team that's void of good players. Like I like Doug McDaniel, but given what they had, you had to make moves. And yes, that may mean acquiring players that have a lot of flaws, but immediately, again, assuming Hunter doesn't come back, Caleb Love becomes your best player, flaws and all. Is that ideal? We're going to find out, but you needed to add more pieces because the roster's thinning out. You lost two guys to the NBA. You're probably going to lose another one to the portal, and those are your three best players on a team that last year wasn't even that good. So I get all the criticisms, but you need to get scholarship players and bring them in here and bring established guys, because the current core that you have is not going to cut it next season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a no-brainer to bring him in. I don't think there's any, you know, polarization there about, oh, is this the right move or not? You had to bring in a really talented guy if you had the opportunity. And I think Caleb Love's one of the most talented guards in the whole country. I mean, I felt that way for a couple of years. His shooting this year bizarrely took a backseat. Like, yeah, he was not great last year in the national runner-up year. He was like 36.5%. But you'll take that any day over. He got into the 20s, the high 20s this year.
His volume also went way up in terms of
shots. Yeah, he's like 7.5 threes a game this year. He's just not a good shooter. I mean, and the thing is, you have the perfect combination of he's not good at it, but he shoots like somebody who's good at it. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't win at a high level like that, I don't think. I think that thing in 22 last year, as incredible as that run was, he was the best version of himself for a couple of weeks there. And in the end, they did die by the Caleb Love sword. That's why they lost. They lost a 3-point game where the guy shot like 6 out of 24. And, you know, the one thing I was talking about it at the time with a couple of guys at the Keeping It Heel board on Twitter, and they were like, oh, don't forget RJ Davis. He struggled too. It's like, yeah, but RJ Davis was just missing shots. Like, he was taking good shots and just missing them. I'm not going to kill a kid over that. Like, Caleb Love was playing hero ball for 40 minutes. He's going to shoot you out of games. I think he had to do it, but I think just be prepared is my only warning. I think
no, that's fair. No, I get it. But I'm more excited than not just because I know he's an established player, which is, you know, they don't have a lot of those currently.
Yeah. I mean, the fun nights are when he's like going for 32, 33 points. And I just hope it's not on one of the two times we see him. Right. You don't know what you're going to get. Cause that's the thing. I mean, there are nights where, I mean, if he gets off to a hot start that first week, like, your fan base is going to be crowning him.
Yeah.
And I can't even say I blame him because I've been there where, like, oh, my God, he's got it. It's clicked. Like, it's over for everybody now. And we have seen that happen for guys like Denzel Valentine. Like 1 year to the next is, oh, my God. So yeah. It's not, like, unprecedented. It's not like pros where you don't see that big of a leap as often from 1 year to the next. College, it happens all the time. So. Yeah. He is very likely to fool you guys. Of course, you do have the possibility. Maybe he actually has found it. I don't know. Is there like a Michigan – I can't think of – Michigan State, it would be like Raymar Morgan maybe, who was that polarizing where he just drove people nuts, but everyone knew he was really talented. Like, I can't even think of anybody in the Caleb Love ballpark for Michigan. Is there someone that like just drove you guys nuts but you kind of loved?
I would say it by his junior year especially, and wonderful player. Tim Hardaway Jr. was like that, where you could tell first shot in, if that first jumper goes, it's going to be a good night. And like he was I think that's probably the closest example, because he would have those nights, like the Ohio State game at home in 2013, where he hit 5 threes in a row, where it's like, dude, this guy is NBA ready. He can create off the bounce. He's explosive. He can shoot. And then he'd have those nights where you start off 0-for-2, and it's like, here comes the 2-for-14 performance. Yeah, there's probably similarities there.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, but I don't think there is. I mean, I don't think there is a good answer, because I mean, I've never seen anything like it with this guy in either of my two schools I root for. So it's bizarre to think how this might look. And, you know, I'm going to be kind of like exposed to it in a different way now, because I kind of wish he just went to like La Tech or something.
Right.
It's like kind of like, get out of my way. I feel like I'm still on the roller coaster somehow, like not in the same way, but in some fashion. I mean, I'll finish here in terms of Caleb. You're a keen observer of the human experience. I think you're a really perceptive guy. I think it's one of your better qualities. Be. Yeah. You're way up there in terms of the human, you know, perception.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Am I crazy when I read his social media posts that he had where, I mean, what was the wording? It said, I'm going to rewrite my, what was it like? Rewrite my chapter or whatever that was.
Rewrite my script. Write my own script, something like that.
Yeah, it's like rewrite my story. But the keyword was rewrite. So am I crazy to think that he is in some fashion not comfortable with his legacy in Chapel Hill? Like, that's the only way I can think. He feels he has to rewrite something. It's normally my next step. The journey continues, like that kind of stuff.
I mean, look, it is just words. At the same time, I think that there has to be some level of embarrassment that comes with everyone who was on UNC's team last year, just in the sense that they, for their sake, accomplished something that hadn't been done. I mean, they were number one team in the country going into the season. I think, and by the end of the year, they became a punching bag. Like they're, because they were on national TV so much, so people were like, dude, North Carolina is legitimately bad. So I think there's a level of embarrassment that comes with having such high expectations and coming up short of those expectations. And like you said, he was clearly a very polarizing player amongst his own fan base. So and these guys are aware of that stuff. So I'm sure that's been in the back of his head. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are days where he's treated like, or was treated like, Cassius Winston down there in terms of reverence, and then there were days that he was treated like Foster Lawyer. I mean, I don't even it's like, depends what day. And you know, someone on Twitter said today, like, oh, that's pretty much every college player ever. I've adjusted for that curve in making this guy, like, that guy's right to say that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, this guy may be the best point guard in the ACC versus, like, this guy's trash. Get him out of here. He's a mid-major guy. So it's like, I think buckle up because you're getting on the ride. I'm going to do a one question speed round.
Oh,
totally unrelated before I get you out of here. I told you we were going to be quick. Itty bitty sample size alert granted. First week or so of the Tigers, more optimistic about this year, less, doesn't matter. I mean, if you had to come up with something on a short timeline.
Even in terms of expectations relative to where I was at the beginning of the season. They have not changed regarding the direction of the team or this. But really, we'll just talk about this particular team. I said 70 wins preseason, and I am standing by that. I think the Houston series, thank God, gave us some optimism. And ultimately, hey, the two guys we need to see play well and hit are hitting. You know, Torque's seeing the ball a lot better, and Green's, I believe, at least until yesterday, I think, was batting over 300 with some pops. So in that aspect, I'm right where I was 2 weeks ago when this thing started.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, as long as Torkelson's having good at-bats, and you said it on Twitter where you're like, okay, his numbers, he's like 2-for-9 or whatever it was, but
yeah,
his at-bats.
He's got hot lately, though. He's got, I think, 4 hits in the last.
No, but I'm saying, like, you kind of called that. He started hitting, like, right after you said that.
Oh,
like,
right, yeah, he just needed the one, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, his at-bats, he's putting together good at-bats, and now he is hitting. So, yeah, I think, I mean, you said it. The guys that need to be good for the big picture health of this thing working, yeah, are doing just fine off to the beginning, but I don't know. I think they're gonna just be terrible this year. But we'll finish there, Chris. Appreciate you. Quick hit. I wanted to get you in with the Caleb Love stuff. You know, bring a barf bag. It's gonna be bad some nights, but you're also gonna be skipping around town elated. It's quite an experience. I don't know if I'd wish it on my worst enemy or not. You know,
I used up plenty of barf bags last season, so I think we should be fine with the Caleb Love experience here going forward.
Yeah, well, have fun. It'll be interesting to watch, you know, a little bit closer, but still from afar, from a fan standpoint. All right, Chris, appreciate you, man. We'll see you soon. Hopefully I miss you. I gotta get you back in the studio at some point. I know like, you know, you're like Bono these days, but we'll get you in soon. Ben, appreciate you. Short notice. Caleb Love, I have no opinion. I think it sucks and rules at the same time. So have fun, Michigan fans. There's nights I'm going to be jealous you got him. There's nights that I'm going to be, thank God he's not playing for a team I root for. Up and down, up and down. I just hope his 50-50 bad games, two of them land on his games against Michigan State. Off the curve, Justin Spear. We'll see you. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Ben. We're out.